At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Oh, hello. We're back. We're in the bunker for another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy, an impromptu episode. We didn't plan this Friday drop, and we've got Mike Sutherland and Jeff Neeson. Two famous names, Kiefer Sutherland, Liam Neeson, one saved the world, one beat up a bunch of Eastern Europeans to save his daughter. You know who they are. They're famous. We've got the boys from Another Take. They also have a podcast. It's called Another Take. We're both going to release this episode Friday. It's a swap cast, and we've got the host, the man, Duddy B.
What's happening? You heard it here. This is another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy and Another Take Swapcast.
Swapcast.
I had jumped into my airtight bubble car. I drove through the wasteland, past all of the tumbleweeds, got to the bunker, climbed down the 100-foot ladder, took off my rubber glove, cavity checked myself. You know how it goes. Jumped in the pool of Purell, got out, walked through the Total Recall x-ray machine, put a thermometer in my mouth, 98.7. Then I held my breath for 30 seconds, so you know I don't got it.
That's right. No Rona for Duddy. I once again walked in, sneezed on a drifter, then shook his hand, and just walked right into the studio. No checks for me. Could be a carrying member. But I'm here in the bunker with you guys.
Yeah.
And we've got the boys from Another Take. This just happened out of nowhere. The swap cast, we're calling it, right?
Don't worry about that drifter, though. I actually cavity checked him, too.
You did? He's good. The drifter's good.
He's good.
Same drifter every day at the top of the bunker. He's trying to get in. We'll let him in one day when it gets cold enough. All right. So, yeah, Duddy, set this up. Why do we have the boys from Another Take podcast in here today? What's going on?
Well, I desperately need to finish one last verse for this Dirty Heads album. And, you know, studios and things are just are closed. And so Mike was coming in to record the verse for me. And we figured if he's going to come down here all the way to the bunker and climb down the 100-foot ladder and go through all that stuff.
The Purell.
You know, we might as well just record a podcast as well. And we were thinking about, you know, here, let's you do ours, and then, you know, we'll do yours after. And we said, you know what, let's just do one at the same time and release it on both servers.
Yep.
Perfect. We had Sam Tripoli on several episodes ago, and he's way more professional at this than any of us. And he told us about the Swapcast. Yeah, you record one show, you guys both release it, makes life easy. So we're trying one here today. Awesome stuff. And this actually leads us right into kind of the Dirty Heads news at the top, because Mike has not only tour managed for the Dirty Heads, but obviously you're here to record a verse with Duddy. What is your relationship right now? What's going on? You and Mike are in the bunker for more than just you doing a verse, right? Are you doing the sound for the live streams as well?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's what I'm kind of getting into. They're both looking at me like, the fuck are you getting at, dude? What are we in a relationship? No, nothing. Yes, he's also recording, you know, doing the sound for the Dirty Heads live streams every other Friday. So what's going on with that, dudes? How's it been? What's cracking?
It's been awesome. Actually, the first one was so fun going back and just going back over some of those old songs we haven't played in 10 years, probably, some of those tracks. So it was great to go back, and we're really excited about the next one, The Cabin by the Sea. We're starting rehearsals on it, getting ready for it, and you know, still a couple bugs to work out. You know, we're getting it better. You know, I think the last one we did was a lot better than the first one, and I think this next one's going to be better than the last. So
every 2 weeks, and you can keep stepping up just the professionalism, and every other week is going to be a different album. You guys are going chronologically from the first album all the way up through the newest album, playing songs you haven't played forever. And okay, so we've talked a lot with Duddy about how these coronal times affect bands and everything, and you're a tour manager, you're a sound guy. You were also doing sound on the Rome and Duddy tour, which got canceled, which is how this is what led us to being in the bunker, Duddy and I, was the cancellation of the Rome and Duddy tour.
Duddy
has nothing to do with his life. I'm a barber. I don't have any work right now. Yeah, that's right. Wait, Duddy, you are on stage.
I know a barber that can cut my hair.
That's right.
I don't have to rely on my wife.
Oh, and God. You know that Duddy has nothing in his life besides music. Yeah. You heard it first. Very true. And so we start doing the show in the bunker. So how has it affected you? I'm assuming the same way it's affected Duddy, but you're not working at all, right?
No.
Except for the live stream stuff.
Yeah, the live stream stuff has kind of taken over. There's, with no shows, my job ceases to exist. There's really no reason for anyone to need a tour manager or even a sound guy, really. It's kind of like, what do I do with myself, you know?
A lot of the live streams have been just in people's, in their living rooms.
Yeah, or like they've mixed it in a studio and it's, and I started as a studio engineer primarily now. I do live work, but I did one. I mixed one song for Rome, you know, for Fresh Goods, like the music label. And then I've been doing the live stream, and then our podcast, and managing two children, and that's it.
Managing,
damn.
If I'm tour managing anything, it's the children, and my wife's actually doing that. So maybe I'm not doing that at all.
Damn. And Duddy's got two children too, so he has much more going on in the music as well. But and so to your guys' podcast, real quick, because we also have Jeff Neeson here, and what. Real quickly, what's up with your guys' show? What's the deal? What's it about? What's the story?
It's generally music related, but we have athletes, we have, you name it, artists. We actually took about a year or two hiatus because Mike's been tour managing and had been on the road so much. I've been on the road forever. I play with a band called Brett Bollinger and the Bad Habits. Brett's from Pepper. I do a lot of work with them in studio. We've both just been crazy, crazy busy. I was actually supposed to be in the Virgin Islands right now, but with Brett,
that got
canceled. So, yeah.
Oh, that's terrible.
So both of us were just looking for anything to do. I feel like as an artist, when you can't tour, which is A, your main source of income, and B, your main creative outlet, it's like if I take a deep breath and step back for too long, I'm going to have like a full-on panic attack. So I just need to keep busy, and this podcast has been firing it back up. It's been so awesome. Thanks for having us too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Our and
pleasure.
It sounds super similar to Duddy and I, you know, because when he's on the road, we are not sure how to do this podcast when he's on the road. And so now that he's not, this is an avenue for us to be creative and talk and at least, you know, hang out with friends. So we're super lucky, all of us, that we have a podcast. It's like, otherwise, what would we be doing? You know, we'd have to start a podcast right now.
Yeah.
Which is what everyone on earth is doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So all right. Well, you guys are kind of in the same boat as us then. Because of the downtime, let's fire up the podcast and dive
into
it.
Keep busy. Yeah,
that's right.
Hell yeah.
Did you say we had some questions, Jake?
We do. So yeah, let's get into the listener questions. Let me pull them up on my phone. Only two, but that's cool.
That's
we only asked for them a little bit ago.
We
but
forgot to ask until about 10 minutes before we started. Hey!
Impromptu, everybody.
Michael Yarno. Hey, he is alive.
Oh, he's a legend. Yarno.
Question for Mike. Being a tour manager, was there ever a show you thought was surely going to be canceled, but despite the reasons, the show still went on? That's actually a great fucking question.
That is a really good question. Let me think about that. There have definitely been a few occasions where I wasn't sure. Well, geez. I wasn't sure it was going to happen. The one that I can't help but think of is this show that I did in South Florida for a promoter. And I'm going to refrain from saying the band's name for just out of respect. But the promoter put on the show, and it was the jankiest stage that I've ever seen, and the safety of everyone involved was one of those things where it was like, okay, if we move forward with this show and someone gets hurt, I am responsible ultimately. And that comes to mind where it was like, I figured out, we figured four or five different ways to secure the stage so that there was no fear of being hurt. And the funniest thing about this is all of the worry that we had about the stage, the show still partially got, it didn't get canceled, but we had to cut it short because it was outside and we were in South Florida and the lightning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the lightning will always shut it
down. We'll shut you down no matter what. You have a metal structure and, like, you know, 1,000 people nearby. And
there's
all
like
of a sudden,
60% chance there will be lightning in Florida, every day.
Yeah. So
it's every time I've been there to see the Dirty Heads, it's like it almost always rains.
They say it's just every day.
It just never ends.
Good luck. Sometimes it's honestly for like 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
And it'll just wham, it'll just hit so hard, and you're like, holy shit, this is never going to stop. And then 2 minutes gone. Later, you're just like, oh, the sky's blue.
Yeah. And that's like, that's probably the. Other than the COVID ones that we had,
yeah,
those were where I was like, days before, like, okay, what's the word
for the last couple days?
The last couple days,
we
were on tour,
okay,
and shows were happening. They weren't happening. They like one got canceled, but we still had another one after that didn't get canceled.
And we were hearing about all of our other friends' bands
getting
canceled, and
yeah,
I never thought about that. So certain shows are falling off the map for you guys, but there's ones a little further in the future that haven't yet. So you're like, do we
continue?
Try to do, but you kind of saw the writing on the wall. Nah, these shows are going to be done.
Yeah,
we kind of knew it, but you know, we were out there until they told us it was just done, and then you know, we got the calls like everything is done.
So you guys pretty much clear right now. Do you have any? When's the next show? As far as anyone knows,
you know, we have the rescheduled festivals in October,
which
it's like I hope they go on. You know,
we're, of course.
But it's we'll see, but
music will probably be the last thing.
As far as the summer
up.
Goes, no, we don't have one show scheduled for the summer.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I've been looking at, because I do Sublime with Rome as like my main client. I've been looking at our grid that like shows schedule the schedules for upcoming shows, and I see temporary, I see confirmed, I see, you know, pending, I see holds, and I'm just watching them beginning in March, just cancel, cancel, and then some in July we're still confirmed, and then I'd check, you know, 3 or 4 days later, that one's canceled. And then 3 weeks later there's another show and you're like, oh, that one's canceled too.
Like, dude, it's like you're in the airport when you know there's weather and your flight's still on the board, but you're watching them all turn canceled. You're like, bro,
red.
Am I going to be the only flight that canceled? I'm in a taxi and I'm going home. This is
damn. That's a good question. I do remember one show that I remember. I was just like, there's no way that we're actually going to go out there and play the show. But we did. And this was a while back. It was on the bottom of a mountain in like Vermont. And it was like the Mountain Dew snowboard games or something. And it was like 10 degrees outside, snowing. And it was an outdoor stage. Like on the bottom of the mountain, like the snowboards were literally coming down to like around where the stage was. And it wasn't like a huge, big, nice stage. It was like you could picture the stage.
Yeah.
You know, it was just, you know, your normal little setup for an outdoor show.
Much like
show.
The Florida stage. Yeah. Tables. Yeah. They're standing
on fold-up
tables.
It was decent, but it wasn't, you know. But the show went on and we went out there. I remember we all had our pockets were just stuffed with hand warmers.
Oh, God.
And it was like we would just squeeze them as hard as we could until we can kind of feel your fingers and then play and like just like smashing the strings with like this frozen club of a hand. Just holy shit.
You're reminding me of something that happened at our local mountain, Bear Mountain. This was, you know, 10 years ago. I'm up there snowboarding and Big Mountain. I don't know if you guys remember the reggae band.
I remember
that. Ooh, baby, I love you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm at Bear Mountain. I'm snowboarding. It's dumping up there. It's freezing. And these dudes are on the deck playing just roots reggae.
Oh.
Trench coats, gloves. The guitar player had gloves. He cut the fingers off so that he could hold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just, I can see the sunset in your eyes. Dumping rain, dude. Oh, it's like, that's rough.
Yeah, playing guitar when it's cold is the worst. I played it like 20 degrees in Tahoe one time, and like I have this one part of this one song. I was playing guitar filling in for Tomorrow's Bad Seeds, and I did this shred guitar solo somewhere in the middle. I would not want to hear that thing back. No. You know what I mean? Like the hammer-ons are just so slow and terrible.
Totally done. I remember we were going out onto that show, and I was like, guys, only bar chords today.
And even that.
That's all you're getting, dude. Yeah.
No noodling going on out there.
No.
That's funny. Straight bars.
Funny thing about snow, this for sound guys, it's actually... You can't, so the way that the faders on most digital consoles work, you actually have to use your fingertips because they sense the electricity coming off of your body for them to move. That way, if you like brush up against it and it's not your fingers, it doesn't move, right?
That makes sense.
Oh, so you cannot wear gloves in front of the house. And I can't tell you how many times you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's cold as fuck. And at the end of the show, my hands are just like...
Done.
They're done. You can't move them or anything. It's actually kind of crazy.
What we're saying is that musicians up there, they're heroes and they're brave. Mm. Right, Duddy?
Oh, yeah.
We're bringing that back from last week.
Last episode, that was one of the words that Jake was just like...
No more words.
Everybody nowadays is a hero. Mm. Everybody's brave.
Oh. At this point in time, we're 50-50. You're non-essential or you're a frontline hero. There is simply no middle ground. We've got another question from Jesse Z Rules.
Jake once said his brain assigns colors to words and sounds. How does everyone else's brain register/file things? I don't get colors. My brain works in lines and squiggles assigned to sounds and words.
I think we were talking about music one day, and I said, like, when I hear, like, you know, when I hear certain music, it's a color in my brain.
Yeah, that's
certain
Jared,
bands are blue, and yeah.
Jared does that same thing.
So I think that's what she's saying. Like, do you guys, when you hear music, do you see a color that associates? She said she sees lines. I don't even, or, you know, you might not see anything like that, but yeah.
I'm colorblind for starters.
I see gray, no matter what I hear.
Yeah, I can't see red or green, so I don't know.
And you're wearing
black
and gray. Is that because you're just like, fuck it, I'm not.
It's safe. Yeah, sometimes my wife will just stop me before I leave the house and be like, no.
No salmon. Back in
there. I think I'm just such a music nerd that I'm listening more. I'm like, oh, harmonies, and where are those horns sitting, and where's the blah, blah, like, I don't see any specific color. I think I'm just more listening to mixes all the time.
Yeah.
I see the instruments.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, like, if I'm listening, just, if I'm listening specifically to a drum, I see the drums, and then if I'll listen to the guitars, I'll see the guitars, like, the fingers moving.
Yeah.
But... singers, I don't actually notice the singer. That's kind of weird, actually, now that I think about it. How about you,
Duddy? I focus in on drummers a lot. Drummers and bass, but I always find myself running along with the drums and bass and music. Yeah. It's funny, but everyone picks out the little instruments that they concentrate on.
There's a term for that, right? When you see colors and from sound?
I don't know.
No, I'm pretty sure there is. I wish I could look it
up. I'm sure there is, because it's probably a pretty common thing.
I just saw it in like Rolling Stone or something. Billie Eilish. There's an actual word for it, and it's like a very sciencey word, but they like associate words and everything with different colors and patterns, and
it's like just everything. How we associate.
Like, not even just music; like you can just see
everything.
Any word.
I definitely like patterns for sure. I'll see patterns, but not colors.
What, like Argyle or
like, yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head.
I don't know.
Like, the little anchor a bunch of times, like on pants.
No, not like that type of pattern.
Oh no! Yeah, what type of pattern then? Now I'm interested.
I don't know, like almost like graphed out, like, you know,
ladders or something.
Yeah, like.
Ooh, it's called synesthesia.
Synesthesia, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Where you see.
Associating sounds with colors.
Synesthesia.
Oh, well, I better start a 5K for us.
There you go.
Yeah, raise some awareness.
All right? He's a hero.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And I like to think that I'm brave. Thank you very much. Oh, for fuck's sake, dude. Listener questions. There was really only two. We, you know, like I said, this episode kind of came out of nowhere, so we didn't have a lot of time to put it out there, but great questions. And that will bring us to my absolute favorite thing ever now. It's time for a conspiracy query. Duddy, explain what this is.
I didn't come up with this.
This is yours.
It's not mine.
Okay.
I just heard this. And I'm wondering if you guys believe in this thing, okay? This isn't a theory. This is a query. This is a conspiracy query.
You're not saying, I theorize that. You're saying, I heard this.
I heard this.
What do you think?
And I'm just wondering, do you believe in conspiracy queries? So, this is what we heard, that this is the first phase of the...
Corona is
the first phase of, like... you know, robots taking over, like electronics, computers taken over the world, right? They get us all inside. They separate us. No more human contact. Everyone get on your electronics. We're going to put out all these new things for you to watch and play and do on your electronics. First phase, robots taking over the Earth.
Yes.
This is first phase.
I'm not saying that.
I know you're not.
Oh, yeah. Wait, Duddy, it sounded like you said it, though. Is this your theory?
I spoke it.
Okay.
Yes. Because I heard it, and I'm wondering, do you believe in the robots taking over the Earth?
I do believe in robots potentially taking over the Earth. It seems logical, but I like this too. And I heard like Joe Rogan said this on a recent show of his, and he just, I think, said that he heard it somewhere. So I don't know. He didn't source it, but it's a cool thought, and it actually, you can make it make sense pretty easily. We are separating each other for the most part. You know, people are wearing masks, so identity, you know, individual identities becoming less, who cares? You have a mask on when you're in stores, you're not seeing anyone anyway. People don't want to get near each other. Ooh, gross. Humans are gross, but we're just absolutely obsessed with our electronics at this point because it's allowing us to listen to this show. It's allowing us to listen to another take and watch the Dirty Heads live stream. Could it be? What do you guys think?
I think that's partially true. I don't think the compute, well, so the idea though, hold on, just so I'm clear.
Yeah.
The computer is responsible. That's not what you're saying, but that's what someone's saying.
Yes, I don't think this is like, the government is having the robots take over. I think it's the robots are taking over.
Created this virus, ooh. I suppose. Mm. Again, Duddy and I do little to no research.
I literally heard this.
Yeah.
5 minutes before this episode, asked no questions about it.
Did not dig. But that's why we put it
out. What's your thoughts?
I don't buy it. And first off, because of the mask part. Because my phone doesn't recognize my face when my mask is on. So how are they...
Wow, did you find a nice little nugget? Because that's true. Because my little face recognition every time, I'm like, God damn it.
If anything, it's helping us defend ourselves.
My face recognition broke like a year ago. I've had to use a passcode, so I wouldn't have known.
You're used to it then.
Well, maybe the robots weren't expecting humans to be like, put masks on.
Those dumb robots.
The robots actually did it. Stupid humans will never know how to put a mask on.
Oh, I can just imagine how pissed off the fucking robots are right now. Just how could they outcompute me? How did they not see this?
Doesn't this counteract? It counteracts other conspiracy theories where people think that you have to be, where people are putting cameras everywhere to track your movements because now they can't track your face anymore.
Holy shit. It backfired on the dumb robots. You dummies.
Why would I program myself to feel sad?
Yeah, no. I know. A little digital tear. Digi-tears just malfunction. Well, fucking thank God we brought that one up because you found a nice little nugget of loophole-edness, and now we get to make fun of those dumb robots.
Stupid robots.
Oh, my God. They think they're so smart.
Dude, they do.
We know everything. Mm.
Screw me in my bolt hole.
Oh, Duddy just burned the entire... Fuck you, robots! Who knew, dude? A piece of paper over your mouth and done, dude. Robot revolution.
Debunked.
Over with. Dude, that just took a shit on the entire Terminator franchise worse than the last movie they put out.
Oh,
for piss sake. Are we saying things on the show? All right, Duddy, do you think that... Are we good with this one? You want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you believe in the robots taking over the Earth?
Dude, I used to. Not anymore. Mm-mm. Not with the old face masks.
Fucking all right, robots.
That was a fucking awesome one.
That was good.
Thank God for that segment. Thank robot God for that. And then let's get right into such a flowery, positive part of the show. Let's get into our tip of the day. And Mike, you have a tip for us, I believe, today, right?
Something
for the listeners to feel good.
Yeah, to help you feel good in the morning.
You got it.
When I wake up recently, I used to be the habitual look at your phone first thing in the morning, like not even get out of bed and you're looking at your phone. So I've replaced that exercise with just getting up, opening the blinds and looking at the sun. My room faces east. So when I wake up, the sun is rising and I just sit there and I bathe in the sunlight and it keeps me away from my phone for a solid 25, 30 minutes at the least, sometimes longer. And I saw my screen time actually went down last week for the first time ever. And I think that has helped me feel much better and has helped me feel good.
I love that.
That's such an easy one.
I'm going to start that tomorrow for sure because I'm not, I can't fucking lie. I wake up and within a minute or two, I've got I've just reached over just to see, okay, who's texted me, what's, you know, what's going on. And, you know, I'm not like immediately going into social media mode, but I'm immediately into like responding and, you know, doing, looking at emails and all that. And it's like, I should not do that fucking right away.
No, it helps me clear my head. And like, even when my kids wake me up early and the sun's not up, I'll just avoid it. And then when the sun, because my kids get up fucking early, when the sun does get up, I'll take the kids over and be like, all right, guys, let's just hang out. Check out the sunrise, you know, like, and it just helps me out immediately. So.
Keep them off the cartoons for an extra minute.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
I love that. And I bet that that helps the kids, too. And then at the end of the day, if the kids are feeling better, they're going to be nicer the rest of the day, and that's going to make you feel better. And then you're going to be nice to your wife, and then everyone in your house is going to be happy, and that probably feels good.
Oh, landed it. I warned you guys about the segue, and then you saw it and you had to deal with it. That was a good one.
Thanks,
it's a fast-moving river.
I didn't know where I was going. I just closed my eyes and let it take me.
Well, yeah. Don't stop the flow.
Well, speaking of feeling good, on this podcast, we do have some sponsors that make us feel great. And one of those sponsors is Koi. Koi CBD is an amazing company, an amazing product. I use it every single day. You guys know the routine. I got this big old bottle, 1,500 milligram, with a spray capper on it. I wake up and just like 10 of them under my tongue. I hold it there for 20 seconds. And then right after 20 seconds, when that goes down, I chase it with my 1,000 milligram inhaler.
What's your favorite dinosaur sound?
This one.
What's a drone sound like?
Zoo, zoo.
Hell yeah.
Oh, man. That's right. Koi CBD, amazing product, amazing company. And right now they're doing something super cool. They have hand sanitizer, and every ounce of hand sanitizer they sell, they are matching that amount and passing it out to first responders and hospitals all through Southern California. That's right. You heard it here, koicbd.com. Put in code DuddyB at checkout. You get 20% off.
Fwah, fwah.
Yeah, and also Onnit, another amazing company. That's Onnit with two N's, O-N-N-I-T.com. This company has so many amazing products. Whatever you're into, whatever you're looking for, they got it for sure. If you're working out and you need protein, if you need any sort of supplements, they got it. Me personally, I love the Alpha Brain. I take it every day. I've been taking it for like 7 months now, and I definitely tell a difference in just my sharpness and my memory. And also, I love right now the New Mood. I take it in the afternoon about 5. It's not a sleeping pill. It doesn't put you to sleep, but it does relax you at the end of the day. And then when I do fall asleep, I sleep like a little baby all through the night. So go to onnit.com, onnit.com/Duddy. You can get 10% off your order.
Get on it.
You heard it here, people.
Damn. Nicely done. You heard it here, people. just the exhaustion. Good Lord. All right. So this is a swap cast, right? And so we want to kind of involve some segments that the boys from Another Take would do on their show. Their show is kind of music-driven. So we're going to hand it over to Jeff and Mike and let you guys kind of do the question asking of Duddy and I for a hot second here.
Cool.
Take it away, fellas.
So one of the questions we ask pretty much all of our guests is, what was the very first album that you remember purchasing with your own money? And what's the story behind that? And how did it influence you?
Duddy, you want to take it?
Yeah, I mean, I've actually talked about this on one of our songs, Believe, and it's like, I can't never quite forget the first tape you bought. Mine was Naughty by Nature back when OPP was hot. And I remember getting that cassette. I remember being in, and I think it was Sam Goody.
Yep.
Was that over there by that, by like the Philly cheesesteak place, right? Sam Goody. That was that one, right?
Yes, it was
by Manja Manja and shit.
Absolutely.
That's right.
These are all local spot people. Yeah. Like, Manja, well, fuck it.
Well, yes. I'm just making sure because I'm like, I remember going in there and like it was on the, like, the shelf. I was looking at all the, and I remember I fucking bought the cassette and listened to it. And I remember I was at that age where you're very like trying to be cool and like you don't know who you are yet, really. I was young. I don't even know, 12 or 13. Maybe?
Yeah, I'm trying to like place the time.
Even
I mean,
younger.
But I remember you listening to the
like
shit
11,
out of this
maybe.
Tape.
Like 11.
You had to
know.
Be, yeah.
Hold on. Was younger it the cassette?
Than that, dude. I'm talking Duddy's
it
like
It was the cassette.
Eight.
It was the yeah. cassette?
Yeah, cassette tape. Duddy's like
Not
8 years
old.
I think it was like in the 90s. Like, I think that album came out like early, like 92, 93. So I think I was like 11 years okay. old or something okay. like that. And I remember I just loved it. It was just like hip hop, and I hadn't really heard much like that. And like I remember at that time, I thought it was super cool because they like cursed.
And Naughty by Nature was one of the first like, mainstream like, hip hop yeah. things that was street level. Yeah, like everything was a little more hey, mother, hip, 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 yeah. baby, boo, and then all of a sudden they're like saying real shit.
Yeah.
And their music video, they looked kind of gnarly. Remember they yep, had dope yep. jackets on. It looked cold. They're yep. in New York, and they're like, yeah, what's
so
the
yeah,
fuck?
I remember that. And then, yep. I mean, definitely, I was into you know. Bits of hip hop before that, but it was probably like mostly like MC Hammer and Vanilla yep. Ice and you know whatever. And
Our
then
first
like
concert.
Yeah, my first concert was MC Hammer. That's fucking right. But yep. like about 11 years old or whatever, I bought that cassette, and I don't even remember exactly why I bought that cassette, but maybe because I heard OPP. It was probably on like MTV Jams or yeah. something, or Power on the what was that the at 9 o'clock at night on Power. What was that called?
High five at nine.
I probably heard it on there or something when I was in there. I was like, oh, that's that song. And I bought it. And I remember I was just like, I played the fuck out of that tape.
Dude, so you just tapped on something too.
Yeah.
Because Duddy and I are, dude, I'm 40 years old. And Duddy's 38. You got to be. You're only 38. 2 years behind me. So young Duddy and I, we're from an era where there was absolutely no internet. If you heard a song on the radio or were lucky enough that they had a video that was on MTV or whatever, you had to then wait around until the radio would play that song again. And Duddy and I remember we had a tape player, and you'd sit there and you'd hear the first few bars of that song that you love. And you're like, oh, shit. We'd run over, boom, and hit record. Slam, dude. That was the only way you would get a copy of that song until you mm-hmm. were able to buy the album. And if you're a kid, you can't just go buy every album you want.
Yep.
So, and the High Five at Nine on our local like hip hop station, Power 106, that was the thing. You're like, well, we know that OPP is going to be number one on the High Five at yeah. Nine. It's the dopest song out. So you'd sit there and wait with the recorder ready. You know what I mean? And I'm glad that we came from that. That's a cool ass question too, because it brings us back to that yeah. time. I remember yeah. Duddy listening to that song over and over, and he loved it. And
yep.
you know, we graduated from kind of the fun hip hop into the like more East Coast and grimy hip hop. That was the first shift that went over to East Coast, because I feel like there was Naughty by Nature, and then there was Tribe Called Quest would yeah. come out after that, and then Wu-Tang slowly follows, and then hip hop shifts back to the, you know, it goes back and forth west to east and west. I don't know. Hip hop now just seems like a thing, right? There is no more west and east. I'm not sure. I'm out of it now.
I don't think it's as much.
I think it still is semi-segregated, well, not yeah, segregated, but like separate.
The sound is very different.
Yeah,
on each
like
coast.
You can people definitely identify with like Houston hip hop, like that South, yeah. like the Dirty South yes, hip hop yeah, is definitely
true.
A thing.
I don't think
it's as identifiable, especially with like trap beats. It seems like every pop song now has a trap beat.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I mean, there a lot of hip hop is now like pop.
Pop. Yeah. So
it's just kind of
just making hits. Wham, dude, yeah. hit machine.
Yeah.
Dude, we came from a real cool era with that, where there yeah. was actually an actual gnarly beef yeah. and a wild difference between the two coasts of like...
You could tell immediately.
Oh, immediately. And it would be like, everyone's loving West Coast right now, and then it would shift over to, nah, that's the old shit. East Coast, now all that stuff's loved and almost thought of on the same plane. But
yeah. Did you guys watch that?
I remember feeling that divide.
Have you watched that Netflix show on the history of hip-hop? I can't think of the name of it right now.
I've seen the thing, but I haven't watched
it. It's fucking awesome.
Does it go into depth?
It goes real deep. It goes back to the 70s when like dudes in New York were just DJs, literally, mm-hmm. and they'd come up with their own beats and make like actually mixes on the fly, and like that was the sound of that era and how hip hop began. If yeah. you haven't done that, like, or haven't watched it, it's definitely worth a dive. I think they have like 3 seasons out. I watched the first 2.
Evolution of Hip Hop.
Evolution
yeah,
of Hip Hop.
It's called
that's
that.
It.
Oh, okay,
dude,
yeah, yeah.
It's
awesome. I'm so glad I haven't now, because I'm like, I have a whole show to watch now.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's really good. And
that's
awesome.
It
goes really far back. And then they kind of talk about the West Coast and the East Coast and how, like, in the early 90s. And then it really, for me, it took, like, okay, this is why Dr. Dre was so prolific. This is why, you know, the West Coast hip hop, when it came out, it was like, what the fuck is this? Because the New York hip hop was like the establishment, and West Coast was like this other beast that kind of came out of, you know, the origin.
But
anyway,
cool, they both needed each other, you know, without the competition. Like, oh, yeah. You had to one up everyone. As
the
result,
Beatles,
everyone
they
to
made each other.
And the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Beatles and Beach Boys.
Beatles, like, and the Beach Boys.
Yeah, they almost needed each other to keep one upping.
Yeah.
And we all got to benefit.
They were Batman and the Joker, man. Just they fucking need each other.
They do.
Keep it going.
What was your first album?
My first album that I ever bought was oh my God, Smashing Pumpkins' Siamese Dream. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah. I remember the first album that I asked for, like for a gift, and that was Bad Religion Recipe for Hate. And I always thought that this was hilarious because my grandma bought it for me. So I remember when I got it, I unwrapped it. It's like from grandma. Bad Religion Recipe for Hate. Yeah, my Jewish grandmother, because Duddy and I, although our family was like Jewish, our immediate family, my mom and our parents weren't super religious. So we would celebrate Christmas and Hanukkah, mm-hmm. but a lot of our family is just straight up Jewish. So my Jewish grandmother like walked into a Sam Goody probably, which was the record store back then.
Oh my God.
I would like Bad Religion Recipe for Hate. And she bought that for me for Christmas. Man. So that's amazing. But the first album I ever walked into Sam Goody with, and I had a gift certificate and I bought Siamese Dream, Smashing Pumpkins, and I love that to this day. And that's affected me because that's the first like breathy singer that I ever heard. You know, it sounds like he's fucking whispering.
Yeah.
I love that shit to this day. Half the bands I listen to are whispering their lyrics, and I'm like,
sounds like he's fucking.
Yeah, you know? I still love that type of thing, like the Sonic Youth and just the.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So that affected me big time because I remember hearing his voice and that first song, Let Me Out. I don't know the name of the song, but that's the lyrics. And I just remember going, like, what's this sound? I don't know you could whisper sing. And I loved it from day one.
Dude, speaking of Smashing Pumpkins, is this just a fucking impromptu? Do you believe in conspiracy queries?
Is there a quick?
Like the young boy in Small Wonder or some bullshit like that?
I was going to go a different way with it.
What?
Do you know another one about him?
Corgan, I hope this is true. I really, really do. But he believes that there are lizard people that walk among us.
Oh, lizard people.
Oh, reptilian.
Yeah.
You've heard this, that's right?
A thing. He's not alone, man. Yeah, he is not alone.
That is like that's a full thing.
That's a query.
They say like George Bush or the Bushes are reptilians. The Clintons are reptilians,
people
right?
Live among us.
Yes.
That's like that movie with the Obey stuff. What's that movie from the 80s with Rowdy Roddy Piper? And you know the movie?
Yeah,
They Live. It's called They Live.
Yeah.
I love that. I like, look, Duddy and I, you know I've famously made fun of Bigfoot. I always bring it up and attach famously to it, even though only seven people saw the clip. I famously make fun of Bigfoot and people who say they see aliens. I want it all to be true, and I love it. And I love this. So what's Billy? So the lizard people one I love because so many people believe it.
Yeah, that's all I know. My buddy sent me the article with like the laughing face underneath, and I read it, and he like firmly believes that there are lizard or reptilian people that are living among us.
I think it has something to do with Illuminati stuff, right? Like Jay-Z believes in that. A lot of
But isn't Jay-Z part of the Illuminati?
I don't know. Is that we're just saying.
Do you believe that Jay-Z is part of the Illuminati?
I hope it's all just one big joke.
Or I hope everyone just rips off their head and their lizards, and I'll be like, sweet, can we put them back on? Can we just keep? Oh, dude. Yeah, that was an impromptu. Do you believe? Finish it up for us, Doug.
I just said it. Do you believe that Jay-Z is an Illuminati and there's lizard people walking around?
I just wanted you to say it again, dude. Oh, shit.
Oh.
So, all right, cool. First albums led into some fun shit. Who thought it would lead to lizard people, but Billy Corgan.
See, told you. You just have no idea where you're going to go with it.
Yeah, you're right.
Let me out. That's what made me think.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny because you said that about the Recipe for Hate, because honestly, to this day, whenever I hear that Bad Religion Recipe for Hate album, it reminds me of fucking Christmas.
Yeah.
That's hilarious that Bad Religion reminds you of Christmas.
It does, because I remember you got that, and I remember we listened to the shit out of that fucking.
Oh,
that was,
dude.
I think, was that cassette? That was CD.
That was a CD.
CD,
and I believe I feel like when I bought Siamese Dream, I feel like that was CD as well. Mm. You know, so I remember my first things being, I think I got CDs. But real quick, too, the way I found out about Bad Religion as a band, Duddy mm-hmm. and I played baseball when we were younger, and I was playing, I was just taking some fly balls in outfield for practice, wearing my shorts. It was practice. It was the summer. I dove for a fly ball, got stung by a bee, and I remember I was like, oh, you know, I got up, there's a bee hanging out of my knee. I just remember this day, and I wiped the bee off, and there's a cassette tape sitting on the ground. It was Bad Religion Generator.
No way.
So that was the first thing I ever heard from Bad Religion, and I picked it up because the tape was in there, and I'm like, I got a tape player. I remember I put it in Dad's
truck. Do you think it was the bee's cassette?
It was the bee's cassette, dude. I killed the bee.
You just killed him.
I killed the bee. This was my first robbery. Robber bee is what it was. I dove, I killed a bee, but the bee stung me, so I think that's fair and square. And then I took his Bad Religion generator tape, popped it into Dad's truck on the way home, and you were in the truck too.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, whoa, what the fuck is this music? Yeah. You know, it's like so fast. And that's why I bought Recipe for Hate, because I'm like, I like punk now, you know? Okay, should we take this in another? We got lizard people. I killed a bee and stole his tape. We got to steal your guys' bit, dude. We're asking everybody their first album from now on.
That's why
dude.
We ask it.
We'll call it
fun.
The Another Take first CD.
Funny.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
We're also wondering, so obviously, Duddy, you and I did the Roman Duddy tour together. And one of my favorite parts of that show every night was hearing you tell stories, both of you, because one, it was things that I didn't know. And for context, you guys would do like 30 minutes each. And then you do another 30 minutes, and you talk about the songs that you were gonna play.
Yeah.
In a way that you don't normally, you know, hear or in an experience you don't get at a normal like Dirty Heads concert. And you mentioned that you and Rome got together from or had the idea from a tour bus. Is that right? Like, how did you guys come up with the idea of working together?
Well, obviously, we've been friends for a long time, and we've worked with each other quite a bit, toured with each other many times, and. You know, something I've always kind of wanted to do was like a solo acoustic-y album because mm-hmm. I write songs all the time that just they're not for the Dirty Heads, you know.
Right, right.
And I'll show it to them, and the guys will be like, "Yeah, cool. Yeah, you know, this is great. Yeah, you're a pussy.
You should do that with them."
So I have this other side I really like to write, and I've always just in the back of my head been like, "Oh, one day I'll put out like a solo acoustic album with all these songs that I've written that I've never released." And Cheese, our manager, you know, we've talked about it many times. And then same with Rome. Rome also likes to do his solo albums. Mm-hmm. And you know, we got together and we just started kind of rapping out about the idea of going out and doing an acoustic tour, but not playing together. Just he do his set, I do mine, and we just go do like some shows. But then we got together and just for fun, we were like, oh, well, we should like learn a cover or something to play together like at the very end of the set. And we did that. Van Morrison cover Stone Me mm-hmm. and we put it out and everyone just loved it so much and we had so much fun just recording it. We were like, well, let's just do a few more of these, and then it just kind of kept snowballing into like, well, let's not even do a solo thing, let's just do an album together. So that was the whole plan. Obviously this corona quarantine has really put a halt to that, but we were planning on, right when we got home from that tour, we were planning on getting in the studio and knocking out like a full album.
Right. It was a really fun tour. Like from my vantage point, I thought that the way you guys interacted with the crowd and the feedback that you got from the crowd every night, I didn't know what to expect going into it.
Me neither. It was terrifying sometimes.
Was it?
Well, like I've never been where like that big of a crowd, like full setup, stage, lights and everything, and then it's just you. And the acoustic.
So it's just
you
didn't have a backing band or anything.
No, nothing. No.
And so it was like your set, his set, someone did a set, and then you did a set together.
And we closed out and played.
But you guys were
like,
both just solo when you were doing mm-hmm. by yourselves. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I can see when you're used to having a full band behind you. And then
And I've done like
it up there basically. Mm-hmm.
I've done acoustic things before, but for like, 50 people, dispensary things or just like whatever it was. Like, I've done acoustic things before, but that's just different when you're like, some of these were like theaters, and there was quite a bit of people there, and then you're like, fuck, the lights all dimmed down, and you're like,
just me and an acoustic. Hello.
And it was like, it was also very, like, people were seated.
Oh, seated and dead silent.
Dead silent. It was like it was unlike anything I'd ever done. It was like going to a theater almost, mm-hmm. where you're just like, if someone was talking, people would turn their heads like, hey, motherfucker, shut up. Like, I think I counted two times where someone actively was asked to be quiet by an usher or a member of security because they could tell like people were complaining. They were like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, shut up. Like, we're trying to listen to Duddy and Rome talk and sing. Uh-huh. And it was a really cool show.
I mean, when we were singing and playing the songs, especially, you know, like if I would play like a popular Dirty Head song or something, they would know, like they'd be dancing around and singing and it was great. But in between, like, you know, Mike was saying is like, it was 50-50 with storytelling and and the song. So when we were telling the stories and talking, like most of the people were, they really wanted to hear the story.
You know? Yeah, it was really cool.
And then you'd get like, you know, which is always, it happens. It's not like it's a big deal, but you got someone who maybe had a few too many drinks and I get it, man. It's their fucking night out and they got a babysitter for the kids and they were going to a concert and they rolled in and it's like, oh, it's like quiet time concert.
Like I was ready to roast
you. You know, you get the fucking call to play a song. I will. Let me finish my story.
And you were like, hey, and you don't want to boot anyone out. Yeah, it's not that. Dude, you know what I love, though, is that obviously you guys did a good job of presenting to everybody what they were in store for. So people came going like, this is a campfire scenario. We're getting to sit here with Rome and Duddy and hang out like as if they were at their house writing these songs. And that is a fucking special thing. That's so different from how they've ever seen the Dirty Heads or you. So
they've seen us play. They've heard those songs live. Mm-hmm. They've heard them with the full band. They've heard us do like the full band acoustic. They've heard that, you know? So it's like, okay, so yes, they're going to hear me now play it just stripped down solo by myself, but it's like, okay, what can you do to make it special? Let's explain to them the story behind the songs, the band, and what it means, and, you know, I think people really dug that, you know?
Yeah.
It is, and you guys will obviously do that again when this fires up, and that reminds me of a moment, so I'll quickly talk about, because it can almost be more powerful sometimes when it's just a person and an acoustic.
Totally.
It's so intimate, right? So, I was at Weenie Roast is a huge local show that K-Rock, our big local station, puts on every year. Dirty Heads have played it multiple times. It's in the summer. It's at like a 14, 15,000 person outdoor arena down here in Orange County. One year I went to Weenie Roast and there was all these bands performing. K-Rock always has a secret artist. It's like, you know, second or third from the headlining artist. They'll put like an act. We've got a secret act. You guys don't know who it'll be. Well, I had just got done watching Rob Zombie play in a huge band, sounds big, kicked fucking ass. The sun is now going down, and they're all, here's the secret act. And how it works at Irvine Meadows, where this is the stage spins around. And then, you know, the act you were just watching spins into the background, and the stage reveals the next act. Well, the stage spins around, and it is just Dave Grohl standing in the middle of the stage, and then he walks forward, picks up an acoustic, puts it on, no chair, nothing. He stands there and plays Foo Fighter songs, plays acoustic. Like six Foo Fighter songs. And dude, it was just him. It was absolutely the biggest moment of the night. I had goosebumps and chills, which I actually did, and that never happens to me. The sun was going down, and I remember watching going, that is a dude holding a plank of wood standing on that, and there's 15,000 people singing every single word. He stole the night, dude, and it was a guy and a guitar. That's nothing else.
Yeah,
so it is a pretty special thing, and everybody should just obviously, everybody go back and see that when it's available again. It was a rad moment.
One of the cool things too about that tour, I think we've talked about it on this show before, but like the backstage was wild because you got to think like normally you've got like say four bands. Okay, so just with the band members alone in four bands, you let's say you maybe have close to 20 people, and then each of those bands has crews. Who knows? Let's just say on your average, like let's on our summer tour, what was it, Jake? We had 100 people touring with us.
We had 98 people
insanity. On the tour with us. This Rome and Duddy tour, we all just shared one crew and there was no backline. It was acoustic guitars. It was not, our whole entire tour was 8 people.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then, like, for me, it was so awesome.
In the daytime, too, like right when we get to the venue and like the crew would go to like, you know, they got work to do right when we get there. That leaves 3 of us.
Yeah.
Me, Rome, and Micah. It was it. We each had our own dressing room. We'd be like, what are you doing over there? I'm lonely. Like, it was crazy. It was ghost town.
That sounds nice.
I mean, there was multiple times I would go into that backstage and I would be the only fucking person in the entire backstage.
Mm-hmm. And then you really know if someone doesn't belong there. Is there, like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, what?
Oh, yeah.
There's only seven of us, dude, and you're not one of them. Who are you?
That was a fun tour for me because it was, like, equally challenging and relaxing, if that makes sense, because I worked pretty hard. I don't normally set up my own audio console. I don't normally take care of the stage. Thing. Oh, yeah. I brought a desk and I brought wedges. And then on top of it, I'm a tour manager. With Sublime with Rome on our summer tours, if I'm carrying audio and I'm not just using what's at the venue, I have a guy to set up my front of house. I have a monitor engineer and a monitor tech to set up the monitors and all of that and all the mics and everything. I have all my backline techs. And I also have a road manager who takes care of hospitality and everything. So, like, three jobs that I normally don't have to do, I had to do on the tour. But it was somehow still really relaxing because the vibe of the tour, just having eight people, was just, like, it was super fun.
It was fucking awesome. It was very relaxing.
And once we got in a rhythm, too, I think that's the part that killed the most about the end of it, was everyone was in a rhythm. Everyone felt really good. Everyone was happy and enjoying themselves. And then it was just like, and it's gone.
Totally. Like, and see you later.
And that's another cool thing, too, that maybe not everyone would know if they've... I've only been on tours as, like, my band was opener for some big tours, but I've mainly been, like, a fly on the wall for Duddy's touring across the nation, so that's how I've seen big tours from behind the scenes. And it is funny how the first good week, maybe even a little longer than a week of a tour, it's a lot of franticness backstage. Like, people are figuring out their role, and there's so much to do every day, and it becomes a rinse and repeat of what you have to do every day, but the venue changes, the layout changes. So the first seven or eight shows of a tour, yeah, people are, like, hustling and looking down, and then you're right, like, about, you know, a few weeks in, everyone knows their job, everyone knows who's who, you become comfortable, there's inside jokes, and then the tour's just sailing. Yeah. And then by the end of it, you're, like, hugging everybody. Oh, it's gonna suck not seeing you.
Yeah.
So you guys got right into that pocket where you're like, we're kicking fucking ass, and then Rona comes in and just says, WAP!
Yeah, the computers.
Get out of here.
Damn robots.
Fucking robots.
Goddamn stupid dumb robots, though, dude. It's just a mask over the face, and you have nothing at that. You have the thumbprint. Put on a glove, which we're supposed to do anyway for Rona. Yeah. So you dumb idiot. How did you not calculate? That's like three steps from your plan. You're like, we do this and everyone's indoors. And then you're spitballing and one of the robots has like he's writing on the board. Some of the robots aren't paying attention like everywhere. And then someone would raise their hand and go, but won't people probably put something over their face? And that's like, you should get there in 3 to 7 minutes of robot chatting about this and just calculating. Some dumb robots out there. I thought they were all smart. The next wave of robots will get us. These ones are learning and they're dumb.
They're busy upgrading their hard drives.
And they're so stupid. Oh, shit. But anyway, so this leads us perfectly. You guys had the crazy tour. You started sailing. Rona said no more. This brings us into a segment that we do on our show that I know you have something prepared for, Mike. Bandcamp. You probably have 75,000 crazy band stories, being a tour manager for all these nutty bands. And you've played in bands as well, so you guys might both have. What's a Bandcamp story for you guys?
You want to go first?
First one that comes to mind is just kind of a crazy story. The band I was in, this was like 8-10 years ago. We had this terrible fucking Winnebago. Like, the thing, we got it cheap, $3,500 based on the interior, not what was under the hood. Like, blew three alternators. Yep. The thing, like, if we're going uphill, sometimes it would go down to 8 miles an hour on the freeway. Like, that bad. So, we're driving up to San Luis Obispo from LA, and we have to take the one because there's no hills. But there was it had rained a lot, so a lot of the roadway had washed out. So, they divert you up Malibu Canyon, which is basically like, I don't know, 10, 17 miles straight uphill. So, bunch of guys are sleeping in the back. We make it about halfway up. My buddy and singer Tony is driving. All of a sudden, the whole thing just shuts off on a huge incline.
He
goes, we lost brakes. Fucking bail. And I'm running out the side of the door, running along, trying to open the side to let everyone out of the back, which is locked. Everyone's sleeping. I'm banging on the thing.
It finally gets
like up to the edge of a cliff, like big cliff.
It's about to go down.
He jockeys it into park, and the thing just like stops right there. And then we got out and had to set up a flare and divert traffic. And we got towed down. Everyone's, like, freaking out. Like, we didn't know what to do. Like, terrified. Almost killed, like, all six of us.
Oh, my God.
So we get towed to the bottom of the hill to, like, a flat part. And we're like, fuck it. We just kept driving and made our way up to San Luis Obispo.
That's the shit we always talk about. Is the crap that you don't like that people don't see what some bands go through to make it to the show. And sometimes you go through all of that. Like I remember we talked about it. Like there's so many times that we've gone through. I don't think we've ever had something that scary, but we've had some pretty scary things that we've had to drive through with the Dirty Heads or just over fucking mountain ranges in the snow like all night to get to a show where there's like four people at it. You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you're not, and you're making like $50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's. But you get the free drinks and you're like.
And you fucking party and you have a great time the whole time. And you enjoy the fuck out of yourself.
I remember driving. Funny thing is, I shared a band camp several episodes back. People can find it, but it was a very similar story. Oh. My band, brakes went out coming down from Lake Tahoe, the mountain. Ooh. And we had to pull over, parking brake, drag it into the side, got towed down. Oh, it's chaos. But we were at least going head first. I can only imagine backwards. Yeah. You're in a Winnebago. Horrifying
backwards,
shit.
That's terrifying.
That is, I don't even know like what that's about.
Up, you know, like every, the whole thing just shut off and it is free fall.
I have
horrifying
anxiety.
Shit. I have anxiety thinking about that.
Where's my CBD?
With, how do you do it, Daddy? I don't know. It's just such a realistic sound effect. Dude, it's such a realistic sound effect. Thanks, man. No, he's great at it. I mean, the Dirty Heads have gotten, you guys got hit. I remember seeing something.
Oh, we got, we got rear-ended. The trailer fucking
scared the shit out of me.
Our lives, but it was, this was a long time ago. This was Van Days. Like, I think this was like right when Lay Me Down hit. And Rome was on tour with us and he was sleeping in the back of the van too. So it's like if that trailer wasn't there, he was dead. Cause we were like dead stop traffic on the freeway and an old lady just didn't even stop. Oh, just snap. Right into the trailer. No brakes, nothing. Oof. Just wham. And like, and I remember I was driving and, you know, just boom. And it was like a nice nudge, you know, like we rocked forward enough to where we knew like, holy shit, did someone just hit us? But man, that trailer, because you know there's that gap of like, you know, a few feet.
Yeah.
That gap was gone. The trailer was now touching the van. Oh. And the van like kind of got a little messed up, but not much. And Rome was right on the other side. Just
sleeping there.
Yeah, like, and there's only like a couple inches
he would have been
between.
Smashed.
Oh.
Done. Oof.
He was saved by the merch.
Saved by the fucking merch and shit,
You know, last summer tour on Sublime with Rome, Rome's bus got sideswiped. On the freeway.
Oof. Oh, shit.
God, yeah. That's his fear.
Thankfully, like, it was just, like, I can't remember the circumstances. The bus driver told me, but he was so fucking furious that he couldn't really put it into words what had happened. But essentially, I think he was just cruising down the highway, and someone had tried to, like turn in and didn't even see and it was at the back end of the bus, too, and didn't see the bus and just fucking went poof, right into the side of it. And like we couldn't stop and get it repaired, so that the bus had a dent in one of the bay doors.
Going.
Like, yeah, Rome. Thankfully, I think they slept through it. They didn't even feel it.
Wow,
which is really
the bus is a funky thing to sleep in too, because it's you can sleep like a baby in a bus because you're in this little cocoon. But it takes there's also every dude when the driver hits the little bumps on the side, just sitting there going, fuck. And if it happens a few times in a night, you're like. Do I go up there and ask if everything's okay? And you hear every little rattle, every little movement. It's a funky thing. You feel like you're on like a torpedo just sailing through the nation, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, the bus.
Yeah.
But you can't complain about a bus. It's got cable. It's got TV. Oh, I'll never forget the first time the Dirty Heads got on a bus and I stepped into a bus. They're like, dude, we got a bus, you know? And I like walked into it. I'm like, holy shit, this is a good way to tour. Beds and TVs. Mm-hmm. What
it definitely
the
definitely made a big difference.
Oh man, it's a crazy cool thing. Bandcamp. So you say you have a Bandcamp as well, Jeff?
Oh no, I
do.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Mike.
Mike's up.
Yeah, so mine's a little different in that there's one night where we had a day off. I was on tour with Pepper, and this was before I was responsible for anyone. So I actually let loose a little bit more than I do now, and we ended up going to a strip club. And I had a girlfriend at the time, so it really wasn't that interesting to me. I just got completely wasted and, like, just drank free booze because I think they knew us. And we ended up going back to the bus really late. We shut the place down, but I didn't get any lap dances. I didn't get anything. I was, like, a completely good boy. But, like, I got back to the bus, and I was completely shit-faced, almost to the point of blackout. And went to bed and got the urge because I was at a strip club all night. and went to go rub one out in my bunk, which this is a real thing that people do.
I got
do.
The urge. He looked at Duddy and I intently, so I received the urge. Okay? And he like leaned his head down and looked up over his furrowed brow. Sorry. It was awesome. This it was is, like a father, like this young is, man.
Guys, I have the urge.
I received an urge, and I, as a gentleman, I...
So, awesome. As you do, you've got the curtain closed. You're on tour for 2 months. It happens. People do it. You can't really stop it. Put in my earbuds. I'm fully urged. I'm like looking at porn on my phone, which is just the fact that I'm admitting this now is just I'm rethinking this whole thing.
You've gone too far.
And I got my earbuds in. And, doing the business, and all of a sudden, my curtain just flies open.
Oh, in direct violation of bus curtain fucking law.
Flies open. And Kaleo looks at me, and he goes, Kaleo looks at me, the guitar player of Pepper, he goes, "You're being loud."
Oh! Oh, you were just aggressively, violently
going for it.
So apparently, the whole time I was in there, I was like grunting.
Oh, no! My goodness, this is the best. Oh man, you're so shy. Open up and tell us about your life. Come on.
he just looks at me. He goes, "You're being loud." Oh, and I look back at him, and apparently, deer in the headlights, and I just look back, and because I have the earbuds still in, and God knows it's still playing, I just go, "I'm loud." And he goes, "Yes." And he just closes the curtain, fucking boner goes down, and I'm just oh God, did that just happen? I just got caught jerking off in my bunk.
Worst nightmare of all time.
Yeah, and...
For fuck's sake.
I just went back to sleep and woke up the next day in complete shame and...
that's hilarious.
And continued on with the tour. And from then on, it became a joke. If you couldn't, in the Pepper camp, if you couldn't hear something or if I'd say something, in a reference, someone would be or if I asked them a question, "Hey, do you want more guitar in your monitor?" Something stupid like that. They go, "I'm loud." So it was the inside joke just became that. I'm loud.
I'm loud.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking love that. Kaleo's on the show too. I can't wait. Well, we'll see him again, and we'll remind him of this lovely story.
Next time I see him, I'm gonna be like, "I'm loud,"
and he'll get it immediately. What? Yeah, he'll get it immediately.
That's great.
That is amazing. Brilliant.
Perfect. One of my favorite of all time.
I got the urge.
I was extremely drunk, and I got the urge. As grown adults do. It's safe. Yeah. It's legal. It's fair.
You just normally don't do it with a curtain separating you from your friends.
First he goes, "People do it. People do
people
it.
Do it. Yeah, people do it. I'm not alone here, am I?"
You guys have been right.
In the comments, everybody.
Do you do that?
Oh, for fuck's sake. We will now roll straight into Poopersville because this is a natural segue from jerking off to Poopersville.
Hey,
man. Jerking off, and so here's some poo-poo stuff. You want to do this? You want to do it, Daddy? Do it. Give me the train track.
Really? You want to
give me
go
the
for
train
it?
Track, dude?
Oh man!
Give me the train track. Sometimes we'll just do our drops live. And we don't... All aboard! Next up, Poopersville.
Toot toot.
All right, so that was exactly how we wanted that to be. Duddy, make sure you put the clap drop in there so it doesn't.
Oh, I'll probably.
You have a story
that.
Where you shit yourself, right? Hopefully, it wasn't the same. You closed the curtain and shit yourself.
Yeah, no.
Same night. Yeah.
Do I have a story? No, I have a story about my son shitting himself.
A son shitting.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
and this was pretty recent.
Okay.
It's really, it's not that good of a story, but whatever. I'll tell it anyway. he essentially.
What a setup.
He, all of a sudden, he just this is 2 weeks ago, I have to poop out of nowhere. He's standing on the couch watching TV, jumping around and just hops off and just runs about. I have to poop. And I'm like, okay, cool. And he's capable of pooping on his own. The only thing is sometimes we have to help him wipe his butt. So I go in there after he calls me. He's like, "I'm done pooping, Dad." And I go in there and he's got his pants completely off, and I'm like, okay, that's a little bit strange. You don't normally take your pants off, but whatever. And as soon as I'm done wiping, his buddy hops off and really secretively almost, just grabs his pants and just starts shaking them off in the toilet.
Oh, he tries to just whoops a daisy.
Yeah, and I'm like,
droplets.
I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, nothing. And I'm like, Redding, did you just crap in your pants? And he looks at me with just absolute shame, probably the shame that I have after telling that story, and just goes, yeah. Don't tell mama. Like, because he knows, like, my wife's just going to be
don't tell mama.
Furious. She's going to make fun of him and roast him.
She's just going
to be the ball buster.
Yeah, and when it comes to stupid shit like that, like, he knew he had to poop. Well, apparently he didn't. I was like, you need to go tell mom right now. And he ran into the oh my God, I just thought of a poop story.
Oh.
Of your own self?
Of my own self.
Oh. Well, that's cool. We can roll right into it after this one.
Okay, so long story short, at that point, he just runs into my wife, and she kind of loses it and berates him for a split second, and then he's fine. He doesn't get grounded or fucking getting put timeout.
Oh.
But I have a story where you and I and my current wife were out drinking one night, and we all ended up at the beach.
Okay.
And for some reason, we were just hanging out.
Those nights, sure.
We were just hanging out, like, on a lifeguard tower.
Oh.
Yes, you remember now.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, all of a sudden, I had to just freaking let go. Like, and I just, my wife and I were like barely dating, like, at this point. And so the two of us are hanging out up there with Jeff. And I just, all of a sudden, I'm like, I need to leave. And the closest bathroom is a public restroom, and it's like 3 a.m. and they're closed, of course, because we're at the beach.
As always.
Jeff's house is like,
it's too far.
Way too far. There's no way I was going to make it.
Yeah.
And so I actually went down underneath the lifeguard tower and just dug a hole and just took a dump in the hole and then covered it up.
Like a cat.
And it was actually kind of nice because I could, like, hang from the lifeguard tower. It was a different experience than you're used to.
You have to have full trust of your friends.
Full
for that.
Trust.
Yeah.
And
you could have filmed that, Jeff.
Oh, I know.
Looking back now.
Yeah, well, he could have, and he didn't, thankfully. But
funny. That's my one. My one was, so I'm surfing. I'm like 12, 13 years old. You feel the rumble.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Wetsuit on.
But same thing. I'm looking at the beach. I'm looking at the public restroom. I'm looking about paddling out further. I'm looking at the public restroom. I'm like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. So I get out. I just throw my board down on the berm, start sprinting, and I make it to, like, right there. I'm like, and I just stop. I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I just shit my suit.
In the wetsuit.
Trunks or suit?
Just imagine me running, and I'm full
and
suit.
Just
in
a stop
full
it.
Suit. Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, fuck's sake.
And just, like,
let it go.
It was early in the morning. There weren't that many people around. I just, like, went to the public shower and just kind of stripped down butt naked real quick and got it all down the drain.
Dude.
Rinsed off and carried on. And I've never said that before. No one knew that.
So wow.
You thank you so much. Nice, that's what our show does to people.
Yeah,
they just want to let us know.
It loosens them up.
Open up.
It loosens. And isn't it funny about... Because, like, I'm about to piss my pants right now, but we're almost wrapping up the show, so I'm holding it. But isn't it funny about how shitting or pissing yourself, it's like when you're almost fine, even though it starts to hurt, but when you get in a 10, 15-foot proximity of the toilet, your body understands that and just says, we're happening now.
It's shock clock.
Your body,
it's happening now.
Your body loosens up and goes, oh, we made it.
Yes.
Like, not yet.
Not quite. Yeah. And if you're in a full suit, like if with
if
your pants, you can
rah. There were still some steps that needed to happen, and eventually it gave up.
Dude, anyone who's surfed.
Gave up and let go.
Anyone who's had a cold water surf or lived near a beach and has surfed enough, dude, you have to shit in the full suit, and it's a decision. On do you just pull it halfway down, do this in the water? I love that one. You almost made it.
Almost.
Damn.
Almost. Well, shit. Swapcast, dude.
Yes.
I think that's it. I think we did
Swapcast.
It.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
We had Mike Sutherland. We had Jeff Neeson from Another Take. And this happened out of nowhere. We're both going to release this today for everybody, Friday. This was fucking fun. Anything
you
guys want? Where
me.
Can everybody find you? Give us your plugs on the way out.
You can find Another Take on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on anywhere you can get podcasts, basically. Mm-hmm. AnotherTake.net. We also have an Instagram at Another Take Podcast. And then I am on Instagram and Twitter at Mike Sutherland. My name, MikeSutherland.
All right.
Perfect. And then,
you're all same shit.
Plus, I'm Jeff Neeson.
Yeah.
There you go.
At Jeff Neeson.
NISEN.
Nice. Yeah.
And Duddy.
Right on. Well, thank you guys again for another episode. And as always, go to cutlassbrand.com, put in code DuddyB at checkout. You're going to get 15% off your order. And I didn't mention at the top, and I forgot, but I'm mentioning it now on our Patreon page. We are doing something really cool right now. We are on the 4th of July. We are going to raffle off a brand new Ernie Ball Music Man guitar. Actually, Mike went handing me that one right behind you there. Not this thing is an awesome guitar, guys. If you want a chance to win this amazing Ernie Ball Music Man Cutlass guitar, I play this same model on stage with me with the Dirty Heads. It's a great guitar, so go sign up for our Patreon page. Not only will you get this guitar, you're going to get a lot of bonus content. We do bonus episodes every week as well. So thank you guys again, and peace out.
We did it.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.